We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. An Odyssey station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. Visit njdiet.com or call 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Mike Florio.
Let's bring in Mike Florio here. Joins us on the program.
NBC Sports.
All right, Florio, I know you're probably busy.
Pro Football Talk.
Starts the day, he ends the day with Pro Football Talk. He is Mike Florio.
Within moments, a long national nightmare is apparently coming to an end.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If Justin Fields can't beat out Andy Dalton, what the hell were they doing trading up from 20 to 11 to get him?
Go to hell with your big brain. Ladies and gentlemen, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi.
How are you, Mike?
On the Score.
Mike Florio's on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Well, Mike, we're getting close. We're a day away from the start of the season, and this extra week, this longer delay, is throwing off our biorhythms a little bit. And I'm wondering what you're seeing in some of these late transactions that are occurring with practice squads being churned a little bit here, almost in mid-season ways. Is it allowing for personnel people to say, hey, now we've got maybe enough time to get people up to speed when previously we didn't?
I think that does help. I mean, with the players not playing a game on Thursday of last week, with the crush of roster moves moving from Saturday of Labor Day weekend to Tuesday of last week, it gives teams time to be a little more reflective, to contemplate, to see what else is out there, to make strategic moves. We see veterans getting signed before week one. A lot of times teams will shy away from veterans before week one because if they're on the week one active roster, their pay as a practical matter is guaranteed for the whole season. So teams have a chance to really take a step back, look around. And I think that that dynamic makes the ongoing unemployment of Cam Newton even more conspicuous because it's not like he just got dropped onto everyone's radar screen at the time when they were scurrying to do 1,000 other things. Teams have had 8 days now to deliberate, to think, to consider, to ponder, and nothing with Cam Newton.
Earlier this week on Pro Football Talk, technically maybe last week, I'll allow it given the holiday, you talked about the long-term management and approach that the Bears should have with Justin Fields. What were your takeaways from that discussion?
Well, the bottom line is that there's going to be a high degree of anxiety in a good way. You want to see what this kid can do. You made the move up from 20 to 11 to get him. You gave up next year's first-round draft pick to get Justin Fields. Let's see what we have. We got this new car. Let's go drive it. Let's not drive the old jalopy that we already know what it can do. Let's drive the new car. And the Bears are trying to be a little more deliberate. They're trying to be a little more strategic, and they're trying to give Justin Fields a chance to grow and develop. This gets back to that 2017 Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Matt Nagy's there as the offensive coordinator. They managed to pull it off the whole year. Mahomes on the bench until a meaningless Week 17 game against the Broncos. And I know that it is not apples to apples. And I know that the dynamics are dramatically different. Andy Dalton has no equity with the Bears. Alex Smith had plenty. But apart from respecting Alex Smith, the approach was about giving the young guy a chance to properly learn the game. You know, there were moments in the 2017 season where the Chiefs' offense stunk, and I was saying, put in Mahomes. We've seen what he can do in the preseason. The players are raving about what he does at practice. Put him in, and they didn't. And maybe it was about laying the foundation for 2018. And when we get to 2022, if Justin Fields is better off for not being thrust into the fray before he was ready, and he comes out and he takes the NFL by storm, we'll forget about this year. But right now, all we have to deal with is this year. And we all want to see what Justin Fields can do without acknowledging the possibility that there is a specific strategy. The cynical view is, if you hold Justin Fields until next year, there's no chance he gets fired until after next year. But it's possible the cynical view and the real view mesh, and that the idea is, let's give the kid a redshirt year, and he's going to be even better next year. And now, I'm a believer in putting him into the fray and letting the game slow down, but there's an argument to be made that there's a benefit into giving him a year to learn things behind the scenes, and he'll be better off for it when he's the starter next year.
I need to appeal to your attorney-trained mind in some of this, because I'm bothered by a lot of the logical fallacies in so many of these presumptions. If indeed someone is so far away as to need a redshirt year, that can't be the same guy you say is one play away and is the backup quarterback. If that guy's the number three quarterback and this is a learning year and a redshirt year, okay, I understand that. It's usually not a guy who has gone 20-2 as a Division I, you know, top of the rankings quarterback on the biggest stages in front of hundreds of thousands of people. There's also the historical precedent presumptions. On one hand, the fact that Mahomes is good because he sat. Post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. Maybe they just missed a year of greatness on purpose. And, well, the guys who were quote unquote rushed, David Carr, well, yeah, he got beat up and therefore he was bad. Well, maybe not. Maybe he was bad. And he also happened to be beat up. We presume so much causality in these precedents that I think we establish these narratives as gospel when they're guesswork.
Well, and I think part of it is we're just trying to make sense of why they're doing what they're doing. And the other part of the reality is they're not going to come out and tell us what their plan is and why they're doing it, because there are strategic benefits. For example, they got the Rams thinking that Fields is going to play some on Sunday night. Will he play some? I don't know. But they have the Rams spending time getting ready for Justin Fields, and that dilutes the amount of time they have to get ready for Andy Dalton. Frankly, not that they need a lot of time. All due respect to get ready for Andy Dalton, but
exactly, there it is.
I really felt bad saying that. The guy went to the playoffs five straight years to start his career with an inherently dysfunctional Bengals team. I think they should write books about how Marvin Lewis turned that team into a perennial playoff team when you consider how dysfunctional that franchise was and continues to be. So I'm not saying that Dalton's going to be awful. Here's where it's going to get interesting, because Nagy said the other day, we focused on individual aspects of Andy Dalton's performance, how he runs the huddle, how he calls the plays during preseason. It's more of a team focus. How does the team do when he's in there in the regular season? I am not ruling out, and I think it's possible, I'm not going to say it's probable, that what's going to happen is the Bears aren't going to perform at the level that the fans are happy with offensively, and they're going to say, there's all the evidence you need to go from Dalton to Fields, and the argument from the team is going to be, it's not Dalton's fault. And that may be the next phase in this game of who knows what the hell the Bears are ultimately doing with Justin Fields. But I really do think we need to keep our eye on the very strong possibility that they prefer to keep him on ice for up to a full year because they think he'll be better for it next year.
Well, and while the national story is focused around the Bears quarterback setup, and I think on the other side for the Rams, it's definitely Matthew Stafford and seeing how he's going to fit in with Sean McVay, that offense. And as an observer of the Bears secondary, I was just saying to Dan earlier, Mike, this is not an ideal matchup. Matt Stafford did things against the Bears defense that chopped it up when the Bears defense was at full strength, healthy, and in its prime. And the secondary, given the construction right now, could lead to a big day for Matt Stafford.
This is going to be a great case study as it relates to the recent fate of the Rams and the past 12 years for the Lions. Was it Jared Goff holding back the Rams? Was it Matthew Stafford contributing to the Lions not being as good as they could be? Is it the Lions organization? Who's to blame? How does this work? Watching what the Lions do this year and what the Rams do this year with Stafford is going to be fascinating. And, yeah, to get it started, you know, Peter King thinks that Stafford could throw for 6,000 yards. Well, even the all-time single-season passing yardage record, if you added another game at that rate, it's not close to 6,000. You have to do 352 on average for 17 games. Can Stafford do that? Will he be healthy the whole season? That's a big question. And I've always had this assessment of Stafford that he's not really a guy who wants to lead in the traditional way. And the Lions never propped him up as the leader that he really didn't want to be. I remember there was a time Reggie Bush wanted to have a players-only meeting when the Lions were in one of their many crap phases, and Stafford's like, nah, we don't need that. I don't know whether there's more that can be drawn out of Stafford unrelated to his ability to throw a football, but it's going to be a fascinating watch because there's a ton of hope. The bar is high. The Rams have not done a good job of managing or tamping down expectations. We're going to find out. And, yeah, it starts Sunday night primetime. And I wish it was Fields versus Stafford, but I'll take Stafford versus Dalton because I really want to see what Stafford does in a new location after 12 years with the Lions.
There's not a lot that I'm romantic about in sports, especially when it comes to and at the NFL, which is just not really that sport. But I'm trying to reconcile how single-season records, like you mentioned, are going to fall. And this is going to be a recalibration for us. And we had to do it from 14 to 16 games and what it meant to be. For those of us who the 1977 Topps football cards are still my... you're laughing, but I'm serious. Like if I do an image search, I have them. They touch my soul. There are few things more beautiful than that Walter Payton card that has the 1976 NFC All-Pro banner, the 1,000-yarder football on there. What it meant for those guys to be 1,000-yarders. But so this year, and now I'm trying to think, are there any stats, records, single season things for which you remain romantic that's going to get thrown off by the added game?
Well, it's the single season rushing total, which we assume is unbreakable because teams don't run the ball like they used to. A lot of teams go with two and three tailbacks. They try to dilute the significance of that one running back who ends up commanding a ton of money and then the wheels fall off. Sean Alexander was the first example of that dynamic, and it wasn't long after that that we saw teams begin to platoon running backs. Adrian Peterson came the closest that anyone has, and if there had been a 17th game in 2012, he would have set the single-season rushing record. But, you know, you only need 58 yards a game to get 1,000 yards with 17
yep.
games in the season. 58 yards, you know, in the old days, 58 yards was a strong first quarter for a tailback in the old days when it was 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So it's just odd to envision 58 yards a game getting a guy to 1,000. But even in today's NFL, what's going to happen? They still keep throwing the ball and they keep rotating in running backs. So, but I think those are the numbers that are going to be different. 1,500 yards is going to still impress us, but when you add in that extra game, yeah, 1,500 isn't really all that impressive.
I love that you and Chris Sims already went to the end of the season, even though we haven't started the season yet, asking who you thought was going to be the offensive player of the year. What did you guys decide?
Isn't that a great ritual of
yes.
the season beginning? We all have to lock in all the things that we think will happen once we fast forward through the next 4 months. We've already fast forwarded through the last 4 months to get to the start of the season. So let's fast forward through the next four to get to the end. I think if Christian McCaffrey is healthy, he's the no-brainer. Last year he was there for maybe 3 games. I think they prematurely dumped Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think Sam Darnold is a huge upgrade, if much of an upgrade, over Teddy when he's healthy and effective. And Teddy, I think, did well considering he didn't have full access or even close to full access to Christian McCaffrey. But if McCaffrey stays healthy, I think it's him. If he doesn't stay healthy, it's Stafford if he stays healthy, because I think he is going to throw for at least 5,000 yards in that offense if he starts every game with the receivers they have and without Cam Akers at running back. I think they're going to lean heavily on that passing game, and as the concepts work and as Sean McVay realizes he's got a guy in Matthew Stafford who can do all these things that they couldn't do with Jared Goff, he's going to use it more. The one guy that I'm really watching, though, Jameis Winston. Only four human beings have thrown for more yards in a single season than Jameis Winston: Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning. That's it. He had 5,100-plus passing yards 2 years ago. That gets obscured by the 30 interceptions. You put him in that Saints offense, you bring back the deep ball, you force defenses to cover every blade of grass, and that surgical underneath game is wide open now. You could see Winston have a huge, huge year with the Saints. And we're all locked into he stinks. He has these plays where he tries to do too much, and he has a pratfall, and he does something goofy, and then he wants to eat a W, and all these weird things that have stuck to him over the years. He could be very good in that offense.
I think you're right when it comes to the impression of Jameis Winston from a football perspective, but also the combination of Sean Payton. And here we are in Chicago talking a lot about Matt Nagy and this idealized system, but then there are coaches like Sean Payton who not just work in their system, but also really do adapt to who the talent is on the team.
And think about how effective, and this is a testament to Brees and to Payton. The fact that Brees hasn't had the deep ball and didn't have it in his last few years with the Saints, but was still able to make the rest of the offense go without that threat that receivers are going to run past a corner or a defensive back and the ball is going to get there to them. That just shows you how good the offense is, how well Drew Brees ran it, and that's going to be the challenge for Winston. And, you know, one of the big things Winston's got to be ready for, Sunday morning, eating breakfast with the team, Sean Payton's going to roll in with 10 new plays that he discovered that night that he wants to use and put in the game plan. And Winston needs to be flexible and adaptable and show that he can incorporate and run those plays. And he got to sit for a full year and watch how Drew Brees did it. And he was so emotional when he was talking about Drew Brees after Brees retired. I'm telling you, this could be one of those things where it just blows up and we get into October and we get toward Halloween and we're thinking, my God, we did not see this coming. And Winston, offensive player of the year candidate, maybe an MVP candidate if the Saints play like they otherwise did last year. Remember, they swept the Bucs. They had the Bucs beaten.
The Bears beat the Bucs.
Playoffs. Yeah. So, but they blew them out that one night in Tampa. And I know that different games, you get a couple of fluke plays, and the next thing you know, it's 28-0. But the Saints have the capacity to be very, very good. And it's hard to consider them a surprise. But it would be viewed as a surprise if they end up being as good as they were last year, and I think they very well could be.
Before we let you go, Mike, real quick, this morning Nick Caserio, the nominal general manager of the Texans, said I wouldn't
nominal.
Well, he said I wouldn't anticipate Deshaun Watson playing Sunday, and his phrase, "We'll recalibrate here as we go." What does that mean?
Well, That's a shift from we're taking it one day at a time. Coach David Culley last week said it's day-to-day. I think they are trying to keep Deshaun Watson patient. They are trying to keep him on board with this idea that you're here, you don't want to be here, you want to be traded, we want to trade you, it's coming, it's coming. Be patient, be patient. And if they say to him now, you know what, we've just decided it's not going to happen this year, and we're just going to pay you to not play, that's when they run the risk of Deshaun Watson saying, you know what, I think I want to play. I think I want to play football, because I don't think they want to play him. Because if you play him, you run the risk of him getting injured, and then you can't trade him for three first-round picks plus in March if he can get the serious legal issues that are hovering over him resolved to the point where a team will give the Texans what they want. So I think they're just trying to keep him on board with their plan, knowing that there's a chance we get to the Tuesday after Week 8, the trade deadline comes and goes, and they haven't gotten what they want for Deshaun Watson. And I don't rule out them getting it. If Tua Tagovailoa stinks it up the first few games, maybe the Dolphins finally say, fine, we'll give you what you want, and we're ready to move forward.
Mike, happy football season. We'll have all sorts of stuff to talk about for real when we convene next.
All right, thanks. Great talking to you, as always.
Thanks, Mike.
That is Mike Florio.
It's nice. Football season's here, and he's already looking at the end. I love it.
Cody Decker is coming up next. He was lifting thousands of pounds on Twitter. Did you see that? He was like deadlifting ridiculous amounts of weight, like a like a sumo wrestler or something. He looked like one of those like old Soviet weightlifters from 1976, Vasily Alexeyev. So we'll talk to him about that and baseball things next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, I'm fired up baseball guy.
I wish more guys pissed me off when I played.
Cody Decker.
Hey, Cody, why do you not like the Brewers?
Trash organization. The launch angle craze is absolute madness.
Outfielder Cody Decker.
If you don't take advantage of the data, then don't play this game.
Swing and a drive, hit the deep left center. That ball's headed for the wall. It is gone! It's gone! Cody Decker with a game-winning two-run home run.
Baseball analyst Cody Decker.
Wisdom is an interesting case where he is on that short list of actual guys who toiled in the minors for this long and it finally got his shot. I mean, really, it's an incredible story.
It's an absurdly incredible story because it does not happen very often. He's not the only one on the Cubs right now that is doing a similar thing. Schwindel is another player that absolutely fits that mold as well. These are two guys that have been labeled their whole career as 4A guys. Anyone that's playing double A or higher can absolutely succeed in the big leagues. It's just a matter of opportunity. Same with Schwindel, a couple of call-ups, but for the most part, no real opportunity.
Cody Decker with Bernstein and Rahimi. On the Score.
Let's talk some baseball with Cody Decker, who's on Twitter at Decker6, host of Down the Line with Cody Decker, presented by the sponsor of our hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Your next Down the Line is going to be September 11th at noon, talking Cubs and Sox and all things baseball. And you can also, as always, check him out on our Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. When we last left Cody Decker on Twitter, he's like lifting 1,000 pounds or something. You look like Vasily Alexeyev of Soviet Union lifting giant weights. What are you doing?
Well, for one thing, it was not 1,000 pounds. It was 585 pounds, but I did do it twice. So I guess it was 1,000 pounds. I'm ungodly strong.
Not to brag, but I would ask why, but athletes lift. This is just, these are the facts of life.
I'm a very powerful ex-professional athlete. I run a very powerful strength and conditioning program, so much so that one of the heads of our program, Joe Beimel, decided to make a comeback at 44 years old. He's currently pitching in AAA and probably going to get called up to the San Diego Padres because they don't have anyone else to pitch, so they might as well bring up 44-year-old Joe.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up the Padres, because what level of dysfunction is that at right now?
It is nightmarish in San Diego. By the way, this is a team by all means has been arguably the third best team in Major League Baseball all season long, except for this last month and a half where they've absolutely imploded. Just injuries galore, and the fact that they've been stuck playing Eric Hosmer every day at first base has been an absolute Achilles heel for the San Diego Padres. It's been rough to watch. They are currently tied with the Cincinnati Reds for that second wild card spot, but the way things are going, the Reds have a very easy schedule going forward. The Padres don't face a single team below 500 going forward, so it's going to be a problem for the Padres to make the playoffs.
Amazingly, it's been the Reds that have been the competition, and the Cubs have just watched what's going on in their division as the Brewers have pulled away as quickly as they have. They're not, and now, boy, if Yelich starts to hit, if that offense starts coming around and we start really looking at some maybe improbable World Series champions, but you can't take them out of the conversation.
You can't, especially with that three-headed monster that they have of Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta, provided Peralta stays healthy the rest of the season. At the end of the day, in October, you don't need a five-man rotation. You really need a three-man rotation with your extra two guys being able to, pitch out of the bullpen. I've actually mentioned it a few times about the White Sox going forward. Perhaps Keuchel is going to be that guy that can pitch out of the bullpen, maybe be a long relief type player, and, go with that three-headed, even maybe four-headed monster with Dylan Cease as well.
Well, Keuchel, though, has absolutely struggled, especially in his last three starts. You're talking about the game against the Cubs where he had his shortest career start. He follows it up with the struggle against the Royals. He has admitted, like a veteran will, what is wrong. He's talked about his two-seam fastball, the issues there, and just leaving too much up in the zone. And the reason why I bring all of this up is because I don't know how that fits in a playoff bullpen.
It's going to be problematic. What you're looking from him right now is him eating innings and having quality outings. You're not looking for a start like Lance Lynn right now or Rodon out of Dallas Keuchel. You're just looking for quality to lead into October. That's it. You don't need to expect a ton out of Dallas Keuchel. I've described him all year as the White Sox least exceptional pitcher, not their worst pitcher, their least exceptional. These last three outings, however, have been a bit of a mark of concern going forward, because if he can't eat innings, if he cannot get the job done, if he leaves the ball up in the zone, you can't even use him in the bullpen.
Well, in last night's game, I thought just spoke to the perfect weirdness that is always Oakland baseball. There was a lot happening. It was a late night West Coast game. Sox fans got to watch. There were a ton of vuvuzelas in the background. There was a woman knitting during Crochet's appearance. And then we also got a little bit of a mix when it came to the actual game. We saw Craig Kimbrell before we saw Liam Hendricks. I'm assuming that Tony La Russa did that because he wanted Hendricks to throw the ninth in Oakland. And then also Jimmy Lambert with the warm fuzzies getting his first win. What did you make of the game last night?
I think it was just more of the same for the White Sox, showing how easily they can beat up on ball clubs. And also more glaring is what a collapse. We talked about the San Diego Padres collapsing. I think the Oakland A's have been the biggest disappointment so far of this second half. They should have run away not only with that wild card spot, but honestly, they should have caught up with Houston with those moves that they made. Sterling Marte, all the other moves that they made. This team should be winning, and they are not. They're doing the exact opposite of what I was expecting. Honestly, the Blue Jays are doing what the A's should be doing.
You ever get hit by a foul ball while sitting in the dugout?
Yes, it sucked. It sucked. Oh my God, it sucked. But it happened in such a funny way that a foul ball line drive came right in our dugout, hit me. Then we grabbed a trash can to block us, to protect us, because that was the second time that guy hit a line drive into our dugout. And the very next pitch hit a line drive right off the trash can. I have never been more fired up in my career.
But it did look bad. And then we saw Eloy Jimenez aggravate his knee. And Dan and I were talking about how you could argue that it was on the slide as much as anything else, because he comes around to score and then he ends up leaving the game.
Yeah, but they even mentioned earlier in the game, I wouldn't be surprised if Jimenez came out of precaution because of the ball that hit him. I don't think it's any cause of concern yet. I think there's more cause of concern because of his injury history throughout the year and, of course, the White Sox injury history throughout this season. So I'm not personally too concerned about it, but it's worth probably sitting him out a couple of days just for precaution.
In a really weird year for the Chicago Cubs, they rattle off one of the more improbable seven-game win streaks. And even though we've already been through this with Patrick Wisdom, a 30-year-old rookie in sort of a distant contention for Rookie of the Year, here's a 29-year-old Frank Schwindel out of Livingston, New Jersey, who all of a sudden they can't get him out. And our guy Ian Happ, who's our weekly guest, longtime friend of our show, who is just raking right now, they're getting enough pitching. I don't know what it means, but Cub fans are allowed to enjoy it, are they not?
They absolutely are, and they absolutely should. This Cubs team right now, and I know everybody in the North Side is going to throw something at me when I say this, but I want you to hear me out. This Cubs team right now is my favorite Cubs team because they're not currently playing for a ring. They're not playing for a playoff spot. These players that you're seeing on the field right now are simply playing for their lives and their careers, specifically someone like Patrick Wisdom and Frank Schwindel. These guys have been, I mentioned on the show before, they've been labeled 4A guys, and those 4A guys don't get opportunities like this. And the fact that they are and they're thriving with it just goes to show you how much talent is really out there. And I want these guys to stay in the big leagues for the rest of their career. And right now, they're showing that they deserve it.
Well, and I don't know that you could put into words Frank Schwindel's significance to that win streak when, what was it? It was 5 of 6 games where he had hit the go-ahead RBI somehow. And in pretty impressive fashion with the way he was able to do it. These were a bevy of different hits. The grand slam, going oppo, late in the game, early in the game, whatever needed to be done. He was finding a way to perform over that span.
It's been cool to watch. And I believe it was like he's the first player to have that many go-ahead RBIs after the 6th inning in consecutive games, I believe, in like 50 years. He's like the only second player ever. It's incredible what he's been doing. And it just, again, it just goes to show how much talent is really out there. Everybody that can play in AA can play in the big leagues. Well, it's just a matter of opportunity.
Isn't there an old adage, too, about how many at-bats it takes for a hitter to mature and how many innings it takes for a pitcher to mature?
There's like old sayings about it. I don't know if there's an actual number. I'm sure there is somewhere in all the data. But I mean, in actuality, everyone talks about the season. You know, April is kind of a gimme month for everybody. And that's 100 at-bats. Usually you get 100 at-bats to kind of get your season going. You know, a lot of guys, they get an opportunity to go to the big leagues. I'll give you me as an example. When I went to the big leagues, I got 10 at-bats. I got one start. I didn't get a hit. I didn't get an opportunity to really play. In fact, my one start, I was pulled out in the 5th inning. So I never really got a chance to have every day at bats. I got an at bat here against a closer and an at bat here against a closer, and then I got one start and then I didn't play again. So it's not exactly like you're giving a huge sample size to play 4 straight games to see what you can do. It's you get this one shot, you don't get it done, you don't get another shot. That's why I'm so excited for guys like Patrick Wisdom or Frank Schwindel, that they're getting the opportunity that honestly I dreamed of.
Cody Decker, thank you as always. Happy and healthy new year to you and yours too.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Cody.
Cody Decker, who always has strong thoughts about baseball. Like we mentioned, he is the host of Down the Line with Cody Decker next up on the 11th at noon. And if you enjoy Cody, you want to get a kick out of the show that he does on his own, spraying all baseball fields. Next up, the Midday Midway. And I've got 2 stories. You know, usually birds are my territory, and something happened in Central Park that is absolutely badass, and it took a turn that I did not expect. Also, Pizza Blob. Do you know anything about Pizza Blob?
Can you sing it like Pizza Blob does whatever a Pizza Blob does?
Oh, you can do whatever you want with it, but you're going to learn a whole lot about Pizza Blob.
Usually Teslas are on this show because idiots are trying to use the self-driving feature. Well, this time the Tesla worked for somebody, and in a case of when faking it goes really wrong, that's next.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're 2 equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
1, 2.
Midway, the most important of the year.
3, 4.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
It's the Midday Midway on Wednesday, which means it's all downhill into Bears weekend number one for you from here. Woo! We talked Bears and thought about what Mike Lombardi said regarding Matt Nagy and his existence, his identity as a play caller relative to his identity as a head coach, etc. Had some fun discussing that. Mike Florio was terrific, as always, as was Cody Decker talking baseball. All right, Central Park is a great, great place for bird watchers in Manhattan. And I know this in part because my nephew, who is an aspiring nature photographer, goes there often from Brooklyn and sets up his equipment and takes photos of birds of prey and songbirds and just gets amazing shots there. I wish he'd gotten this because this is on video now. And this is kind of one of those only in New York things. I love watching wading birds sometimes. The great blue heron, which is very common around here, and you see them anywhere there's water around here, you're likely to see a great blue heron. And I actually saw one over the weekend when I did some fishing at Bellow Lake. And they stand perfectly still. And you forget that they're there. They're gorgeous, glorious creatures. They're dinosaurs. And then they'll wait and wait and wait as they wade. And they'll spot a fish or a frog. And they'll grab it. But they're completely motionless until the moment they strike. And then they'll, you know, wrangle with the fish, get it down head first, and swallow it whole. The same thing happened.
And then violence.
Yeah, well, this happened in Central Park. However, as it stood in the pond and waited for something swimming by and grabbed it and it wriggled around, this was an enormous rat.
Oh.
And it was awesome to watch this heron do its part to de-rat New York City, because it's the last thing you think. You think it's going to be, oh, it's a carp or it's something of size that is, because clearly something big that it's pulling out of the water that's thrashing around. You're like, oh, nope, tail, arms, legs, that's a rat. And it eats the thing whole, and now it's getting its celebration at the Manhattan Bird Alert. Major bird alert.
Bird!
It's at Bird Central Park is the Twitter feed, and the video is there.
I do love a good bag alert. Speaking of lasers, we have laser talk later in this show, but that's a totally different deal. So Teslas. Normally when we talk about them during the Midday Midway, it's because some jerk has decided he's going to self-drive his Tesla, and it ends in a fiery, fiery crash. Well, this time the technology from the Tesla actually paid off because, and you have to see the picture. You just need to see it for yourself. I'm sorry, this is a radio station. We can't show it. But your first clue that something has gone wrong in this man's plot is that he looks like he's having fun. Police arrested a man in Louisiana after he falsified a police report that a Tesla car had hit him in a parking lot. So this is in Slidell, Louisiana. The man said a Tesla backed into him, causing him to fall on the pavement. But he's known as Arthur Bates Jr., he's 47, and he claimed that the driver fled the scene after the incident. And the video by the police department showed that he staged the whole thing because there's a camera on the back of the Tesla that was rolling.
Oh, no.
So all of a sudden, you see him suddenly fall behind the car, and he faked the accident and then tried to seek attention from people around him. And then the vehicle moves away and goes on its way. The driver actually tried to check on him before he left. And, like, he's on his back and his hand is up. And he looks like he's, like, smiling, like, looking around for people. And he said he complained that he had had back, leg, and neck injuries. And he had an ambulance and fire truck actually at the location. But there was no actual proof.
And it didn't cross his mind that there might be something filming it?
If you're willing to go through all of this, what scenario do you think you're in where you're anticipating a camera on the car? Like, he looks like he's happily surfing. It's really hard to explain. But the picture is tremendous.
Bad planning and bad acting.
That's really what this is. And also, like, yeah, the Tesla. He probably saw a Tesla and thought, this is my chance, and then didn't realize the car had a rolling camera the whole time. I just would have loved to have been in the room and the cops were like,
excuse me, sir.
This video. Now what?
Let's stay in Louisiana from Slidell to the nearby town of Covington. This is from our Odyssey sister station, WWL's reporting here. What was only a blob when it was first pitched into the Covington Domino's Pizzeria dumpster has now become something else, like something out of a horror movie. A Domino's Pizza employee was prepping for Hurricane Ida and tossed a mass of pizza dough into a dumpster.
The yeast.
However, temperatures rose into the 90s throughout the weekend. And
it has filled, grown out of, spilled over, beyond, and underneath the entire dumpster. Because, yes, that yeast starts to feast. And the monster is growing. I bring you pizza blob.
But really, it's just dough blob.
It's dough blob.
Which is how all of us feel sometimes. Maybe after a football Sunday.
It is pizza dough that has quite literally taken on life of its own. And the yeast is alive. And it is feeding, and it is expanding, and it is creating, is it an exothermic reaction of gases that are inflating this pizza dough? I don't know what you do. Do you knead it down and put it in a cool place? Is there a way?
There is no cool place.
I guess
Louisiana
not.
Doesn't get cool until like December.
I guess not.
You're out of luck.
But you got like a starter dough here if somebody wants to, you know, run over and like grab a little piece of it.
Ugh.
And then I don't know. Maybe
it's been in a hurricane. Gross.
I don't know. Maybe it's something. You got to get a gourmet something special hurricane pizza out of this thing if you want to use it as a starter and make something of it. But it is a blob. It is a legit blob.
Is there a pic of this? I really am curious.
Yeah, the better picture is from a distance, though, because I think they've cleaned out some of it ever since it started spilling out of the entire...
But the headline, Domino's Pizza Blob Takes on a Life of Its Own. Oh, when you said, I knew exactly what happened. This is what life is like. You think you want hot and humid. You think you do. And not just humid, like a few days here and there in the summer, relatively speaking. You think you want that life? You are not ready for that life. Thinking about things like this, the yeast, and where it's going to go and what's going to happen and the mold that occurs just in random places where you don't think about, like in your house. You don't want that life. You're not ready for that life.
I want to say it's Anthony Bourdain's book, Kitchen Confidential, where he's got a chapter about crazy bakers. About the people that restaurants hire just to handle some of their baked goods, and how one of them was like this total loon that never made the same bread twice, and he called it a dough that had to be fed, like it was almost like
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, it was like Little Shop of Horrors, like Audrey, Little Shop of Horrors, exactly. Where he called it, and he would wake up at like 2 a.m. It's like, where are you going? He's like, I gotta go feed the bitch. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, the dough. He would feed it like anything he could find, like peels and things and things.
Who's
in the garbage.
Gonna eat that?
But apparently, the guy was a master baker. He was crazy.
He's a master what?
He was a master baker, but crazy. I got to find that anecdote, but he said that he would wake himself up. He was an alcoholic, and he'd wake himself up at odd hours because he had to go in and feed this living dough that was the bane of his existence, but it was also his masterwork.
Oh, that is a lot of personality flaws right there, just all rolled into one. It's Shakespearean, in fact.
I'll find that.
I refuse to bow down to any baked good. But seriously, you think you're ready for that humidity life? Man,
nah.
Y'all don't even know. You're done. Like, here, we're already lamenting the end of summer. Also, can we get this in really quick? Because I found out this news item. There's a local tie to something that happened in Florida. Did you hear about the woman who made the bomb threat at the Fort Lauderdale airport when she wasn't allowed to board? That's not how this works.
What?
You don't make the bomb threat once you're allowed, not like once you're prevented from boarding. Like, the jig is up. And she's from Chicago.
Wait, I found the anecdote, by the way. Can I just read this real quick? I found the anecdote. So what's the woman's name again? I just want to see if I know her.
Marina Verbitsky.
All right. No, I don't know her.
But like,
Marina,
what are you doing, Marina?
That's
like,
another great Chicago accent name.
What, you're like, oh, I'm not allowed to board this plane? Well, now I'm really not allowed to board this plane.
I'm Marina Verbitsky, and there's a bomb. Not one thrown by Trubinsky. All right, so here this is the excerpt from Kitchen Confidential. Okay, it's Anthony Bourdain's book. The kitchen phone rang, followed by a beep, the little green light indicating that the hostess at the front desk had a call for me. Call for the chef, she said, line 2. Feed the bitch, said the voice on the phone. Feed the bitch or she'll die. It was Adam, the baker. What he wanted me to do, what he was telling me, is that he was too drunk
too tired, too lazy, too involved in some squalid personal circumstance to come in and feed his starter, a massive, foaming, barely contained heap of fermenting grapes, flour, water, sugar, and yeast, which even now is pushing up the weighted down lid of a 35-gallon Lexan container and spilling over the work table where it was stored.
But why?
I knew I remembered it right.
But why? What's the point of this?
That's the bread dough. Like you had to keep feeding it or it would die. It was a living thing. That's what Pizza Blob is.
There's a lot of living things. Billions of them.
I know, but this is like an actual living dough that supposedly the guy was some sort of evil drunken genius when it came to making bread at Les Aux.
That's the growth plate.
Stop.
Oh my God, it is the growth plate. That's exactly
we
what that
found
is.
Found the growth plate. God. Jim Boylan is our baker.
Oh, no. I don't want to live that life.
He's got it out of his stomach, something he's working on.
I still have decided also, by the way, that anytime we talk about college sports, we just have to have A-Rod do the intro.
Oh, he's on it. He didn't believe me.
Mike, NCAA.
He's on it. Next up, we are going to talk to Hub. We got possible Bears injuries that we didn't know about and Bears practice squad moves.
And a number change.
Yeah, one that sucks, I think. I don't even care about these things, but I kind of think it sucks. Hub probably will too, but I never know with him. He tends to zig when others zag and zag when others zig. But he'll join us next and he'll take your phone calls. 312-644-6767. Bernstein and Rahimi on the score.
NCAA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.